Welcome to the Painless Flipping Podcast, where we teach you how to get into real estate investing, specifically wholesaling. And the thing is, we try to take away the pain that you're going to be going through if you try to do this all yourself by bringing on experts. So today we have an expert that is an expert in the content creation space. He's got a lot of experience in real estate investing. So we got him on here, Josh Kohler. He's going to let us know exactly how to build content, how to get your specific client to come to you organically. That's what he focuses on. So let's bring them on here. Josh Kohler, tell us a little bit about who you are in 60 seconds and we'll dive into the content.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate your patience. We have some technical difficulties, but this is what we do. This is what we lock up. I'm going to be having you on my podcast here in another week or so. So I'm excited to dig into your brain about what you do and that sort of thing. But yeah, Josh Kohler. So I'm located right outside Chicago in Northwest Indiana. Been here my whole life. And long story short, I got into the real estate investing space back in 2012, late 2012, going into 2013. And I was right out of high school, 19 years old. So I got in this space very early. I worked for a local real estate investor that had about 500 doors in the area. I worked for them for like 6 months. And there was a friend of mine, his dad owned a bunch of rentals. And then I actually got hired by, some of you may know the name of Gary Harper, and he was partners with a couple other people in the Midwest that had a pretty large wholesaling organization. And Nathan, you know David Richter as well. He was part of that organization also. So I was their marketing director and ran all the marketing back then. It was a very, very different landscape. And we could talk about that if needed. But one of the things that we started early on was content, was sending out a lot of the marketing we did was for buyers. And so we would build a lot of content. We had podcasts and that sort of thing that we would shift all that as resources over to our buyers and that sort of thing. And then 2018, I went full time into what I'm doing now, which is 100% serving still real estate investors on their organic content. So social media, video content, podcasting, YouTube, that sort of thing. I work with a lot of coaches, a lot of mentors and people that have masterminds and people that, you know, Nathan, you know, and we've been masterminds in. And then I also work with active investors on their strategies as well, which we'll dig into today. So that's the nutshell.
Do you have a preference on what kind of content that you advise people to create? Is that for, do you enjoy working more with the real estate investor to help them generate leads? Do you enjoy the coach? Do you have a preference?
I've never been asked that before. It's a good question. I don't really have, I would say, a preference, because here's the thing. The principles of video content, social media and all that, it stays the same, but the execution is going to be slightly different. For example, if you're a coach, generally speaking, on social media, you're probably going to be putting out a couple pieces of content a day because you're constantly in front of building an audience, curating that audience, and building credibility with them. And so you could have a podcast that goes out once a week and people are going to come back to it. If you're an active investor and what you're doing is you're putting out content as a resource for motivated seller leads, you got to remember, they're probably not looking to follow you on social media or subscribe to your podcast. You're not going to have a line out the door of motivated seller leads listening to your podcast every week because it's a very transactional business. So the execution is very different. The principles remain the same, and we could talk about that, but the execution is different. And it really depends on what you're actually trying to accomplish with the task at hand. Are you a coach that's trying to generate students, or are you a real estate investor, a wholesaler trying to generate motivated seller leads? Two different audiences, right?
Yeah, so. No, that's completely true, because I created a YouTube channel to answer all the questions for like investor, the sellers, right? Like motivated sellers. And it's just like not something that like has grown or like I've assumed sellers aren't like out there just like, how do I do this? Or like asking a bunch of questions, like someone that's in, maybe I could be wrong, but
I was going to say, that's a good conversation. That's a really good conversation.
So a lot of the videos I made on YouTube were answering questions like, what is a quick close, and like answering questions like FAQs, right?
So
let's talk about that. Is that kind of the content that's being put out there with the people that you work with?
A question I would have for you is, do you think that those videos generated anything for you?
So, you know, I can look and see how many views came from my YouTube channel, and they're very minimal. And I don't know. I would have to say I'm not sure.
Nathan, this is gonna be good stuff here. Okay, so I'm gonna put you right, and then also put the audience
right. Put me right, bro.
Let me give you an example. So Let's say, for instance, you are 100, like exactly what Nathan's talking about. You're marketing to motivated solid leads, and you put a video out like what he did. And let's say it got 100,000 views, and you're like all organic, no paid traffic, nothing. You just put a video out and got 100,000 views. To the naked eye, they'd be like, you know, man, that went viral. You did a great job on that video. Like, man, that got in front of a lot of people. But then what was the objective? Were you trying to get views, or were you trying to get motivated seller leads into your pipeline so that you can buy their house from them and then wholesale the property, get a $50,000 assignment fee? Mm-hmm. We have to look at what the objective is. Is the objective views? Is the objective subscribers? To, you know, a coach, that's a little bit different. You're looking at those metrics because it's going to help guide and dictate the way that you're putting content out and that sort of thing and building an audience. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, if you're an active investor, you're not necessarily building an audience. You're generating leads. Obviously, right. There's kind of, again, this is where the execution is different. Mm. So if you're putting out video content, and let's say you put another video out and it gets 50 views, but it generated two deals that gave you $25,000 assignment fees, would you consider that a successful piece of content to the naked eye? Yeah, the answer would be like, yo, Nathan, your video's got really low views, man. You should try to up your game on that. But then you're like, but my objective was to generate leads, and I got two deals out of that. It was successful. So we're always looking at what the objective is. And generally speaking, like what you talked about too, my definition for video content and content marketing as a whole is literally answering questions that your target demographic has about who you are, what you do, and your industry. So the thought process that you had of like, what is a quick close and putting a video out about that, you're answering a question and therefore utilizing that video as a resource for a lead. And if somebody, let's say somebody at 2 a.m. wakes up, because the motivation is going to hit when it hits. We don't know when the motivation is going to hit. That's the point of all the marketing that we do, is to try to get in front of them when they're motivated. So let's say, for example, that they, you know, somebody's up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's on a phone, right? And they go to Google and they search like, here's my distress and how do I do a quick close? Your video pops up. They watch the video. They're like, I watched Nathan's video. Great. This gave me the value that I needed. It answered all my questions. Who's the first person that they're going to call in the morning when office hours start?
There you go. Yeah, totally.
And because you delivered value by answering a question that they had and leveraged it as a resource for them. So your YouTube channel is not, the objective for it is not to build a YouTube channel. The objective for it is because YouTube's a search engine. So when somebody Googles something, videos will come up because Google and YouTube own each other. So, you know, video traffic makes up a very, very large amount of traffic in general on Google. So the results will be articles, it'll be videos. Now it'll be YouTube Shorts videos. It'll be all kinds of content. And if your video shows up in your market because they searched for that specific question that they had to ask, that you've already built credibility with them before you even hop on a phone call.
Yeah, I guess one thing that I've struggled with as I've made content is looking at the amount of views, right? As that's the indicator of success of the content, right? And I'm sure you run into that with a lot of people that you work with. They're probably just like, man, it's not getting a lot of action. But it's like, well, did it get you the result you're looking for? Is it getting you the result, right?
It's hard to look past it too, because you could even make the argument, like, generally speaking, the more people it gets in front of, the more people it reaches, the higher chances and probability you have of it actually getting in front of the right person. There's an argument for that, like, no doubt. But again, I'll go back to the conversation. If it generated 100,000 views, or let's exaggerate and say it's 1 million views, but it didn't get you any leads, then it got to the wrong audience and you didn't, it wasn't ultimately a successful piece of marketing that you put out. But if it got 50 views and you got two deals out of it, it was very successful. Do it again and again and again. And it's all about looking at the right metrics. You know, in our business, we look at metrics and KPIs, and it's very easy for us to look at, and I'm sure you've heard this statement, Nathan, is those types of metrics are vanity metrics. And in a sense, like, yes, like when I'm working with somebody on their social media or their YouTube content or their podcast or whatever, I'm looking at those analytics because they do tell a story, but it's not the end of the story. Mm-hmm. It's only a little pin drop in the story that we can look at and say, like, Yeah, obviously we want the views to go up. Obviously we want subscribers to go up because our objective is to build an audience. But again, if we're talking, if you're listening and you're a motivated, or you're a wholesaler or somebody that's marketing to motivated seller leads, your objective isn't to build a YouTube channel, it's to generate leads. So you got to focus on that.
No, that makes complete sense. And I would say as someone that is making a lot of contents, I get messed up with that all the time where I'm just like, oh man, this isn't working, right? Or this video is not that good, but you're right. It just depends what you're trying to accomplish through that.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you about the content platforms have changing over time. Have you feel like they've changed for the better for content creators? Do you feel like it's changed for the worse and it's more difficult to get your objective accomplished? What's your opinion on what's been happening with the social media platforms?
So I'll start off with saying my assumption of the question is like, how do you stand out? Because the way you kind of ended that and tailed it off was like, how do you stand out in a world where everybody's putting content out, right? Like everybody's putting out Instagram videos and everybody's putting out YouTube videos. There's seems to be 100 podcasts launching every single day, that sort of thing. Right. Generally speaking, when more content is on a platform, there's going to be more traffic to that platform. We saw this so there's a story that we'll tell that is relevant to the question. We saw this with Clubhouse. Okay. Now Clubhouse went wrong at a certain point, which I'll talk about here in a second, but there was an immense amount of people. Like they came out of the gate. I mean, you remember it. Like it was yesterday, like dude, everybody was on Clubhouse. Everybody that we knew was on Clubhouse. And it was this huge thing that like had so much potential and everybody just rushed to it. Like it was a gold mine. And it really was at some point. Like I know a lot of people that generated lots of really, really good revenue from Clubhouse. And the theory is that the more creators that are on a platform, the more audiences will come and flock to that platform because there's content there.
Yeah.
The rest of the story is irrelevant because they went down a path where it's like you have to have it on demand. They weren't able to replay stuff easily. And so that kind of fizzled out and now it really doesn't exist anymore. So that's a whole different story. But same story with TikTok. TikTok is like one of those things where it came out of the gates kind of like a little bit slow with Musical.ly. And then all of a sudden, like all these creators in 2020 when the pandemic hit, everybody's sitting at home making videos, and then it just kind of exploded. And that and then in the real estate space, we know a couple people that like were kind of the pioneers of that and really kind of broke into this sphere where it was like a lot of business content and a lot of real estate content started hitting and they did well. And then that eventually tailed off and now it's very hard to get any kind of organic reach. So the story is the way that you stand out in this is obviously like, yes, you're going to be in the content space with a lot of other creators, a lot of other people that are putting out content. But to me, the message that I would get across is in order to stand out, it's focus on your quality, which is obviously like, you know, obviously the filming of the content, stuff like that. And then, you know, obviously the delivering of the value, making sure that that's a pinnacle of what you're putting out. Don't just like give out fluff and that sort of thing. Focus on that. That's a really big focus that everybody should have if you're putting out any type of video. If you're putting out video for a motivated seller lead, make sure you're answering the question directly instead of just pitter-pattering around and using that as a 5-minute pitch, elevator pitch. Like you don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So focus on that. But then the other thing is consistent over time effort is ultimately where you win out. And I know a lot of people that'll like fight me on this, like, yeah, but you know, I've been putting out podcasts for like 4 years and I really haven't seen much growth. I'm like, then why are you still doing it? And the answer ultimately is because it actually is growing. It actually is doing something for them.
Yeah.
So, but the expectation, which is a whole nother conversation, is different. Just like your expectation with the views and, you know, that makes it like you're just it, reality wise. And this, everybody struggles with this. Your expectation just wasn't set properly for that piece of content that went out. So, platforms really haven't changed much in a sense of how content is delivered. Really, like we have the short form video content, you know, the Reels style, TikTok style videos that go out with captions and then you got B-roll and stuff like that. You know, that's cool. Some of the things that have change in a sense of the delivery of it. For one, I've seen a lot of bigger creators start to do this, which is very, very interesting. We've tested this a lot with our clients over the last 6 months and it's worked well, is shortening the content. So we're getting to a point now where platforms are allowing longer videos to go on the platform. YouTube Shorts is going to start allowing up to 3 minutes on a YouTube short. And I've seen some creators do it. If you can hold attention for 3 minutes, then cool, maximize it. But yeah, the theory is that I've seen people like Alex Hormozi putting out 10 or 15 second videos, and then it's just a very like impactful, powerful punch of something that he says, and then it loops back around. So the theory is, if I put a, let's say I put out a 10 second video and somebody watches 3 seconds of it, in theory, they've still watched 30% of my video.
Mm.
But if they only watch 3 seconds of a 60 second video, then that like is very minuscule. And these platforms organically play off of retention rates. How much of a video did your audience watch? Cool, you got a really good retention rate. We're gonna keep circulating your video until it dies off. That's literally how it works.
That's so interesting, man. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you think the platforms will fix that? Because I feel like you're just playing the game right there, right? Like you just made a 5 second video and they watched 3 seconds of it. So, you know.
My thought process with this is that like there's always the argument like we're just going to keep shortening people's attention spans and that sort of thing. And okay, maybe, but we're already down that rabbit hole, so there's no coming out of it. Mm-hmm. The thing is that I think, you know, for example, if, you know, I really wanted a very specific piece of content to hit my algorithm and it only takes 10 seconds compactfully to make a statement and deliver the message that I'm trying to get out of it, why not put a 10 second video out there? Because it's, you know, if I go into like the execution of this, I'll have clients record video specifically for social media. So we're not chopping the content. There's two methods to do it, but I'll have clients do that. And one of the reasons why I do it is because if I give you one topic and I say, Nathan, finish this, you have a 5 minute time frame to finish it and deliver the point. You will take 5 minutes to deliver the point. But if I say, Nathan, do it in under 60 seconds, you will find a way to compact that information into 60 seconds fully without telling some stories, giving some fluff and that sort of thing. Yeah. So there's some of those kind of like methods that kind of, you know, play into this. But ultimately, I think that, you know, if you're shortening that time span of being able to deliver content, then it does help. Actually, I think the biggest advantage is that it introduces newer viewers to you so that you can just instantly deliver value to them. And then, you know, and Hormozi is still putting out 60 second Reels videos and YouTube Shorts.
Right.
But it's kind of an interesting conversation to have, but it's a never ending conversation. So
of course. Yeah. And I'm kind of curious because I've been making content for about, you know, 3 years now. And I go for the what questions are being asked and then answer them. But when it comes to like coaching, specifically trying to get clients, if I'm trying to build my coaching business, they say like you want to talk to one specific person and talk about like one specific problem that you solve for that avatar all the time, right? So you're known for that. So have you seen kind of that difficulty, like when you're telling people like to make content, like if they want to start like answering tons of different questions versus just talking about like the one thing they want to be known for, right? Like for example, Pace Morby's subject too, but what if he's, you know, he's not talking about all the different, maybe he is, I don't know. I don't watch a ton of this stuff, but do you know what I'm saying? Like talking about all the different things that you can solve versus just hitting everyone with like that one thing you want to be known for.
Okay. Problem. So I think that's a really, really good question. And I think the answer is you'll always have an umbrella. So Pace is subject to, but how many topics can you juice out of a subject? Like it's a creative finance strategy. So there's many things that you could talk about. You can even branch that into how to build a subject to team. And then that branches into how to hire right. Then branches into how to build culture. There's so many like sub branches that just come under the umbrella. So, I, you know, theoretically, yes, we know Pace for being the sub two guy, but he puts out a lot of content about other things, but it's still somewhat under the sub two. Like it always circles back in some way. So you'll have guys like say a Gary Vaynerchuk or an Alex Hormozi that put out content and they're known for a few things. It's just, they're so experienced in the content world. They have such a big audience that they have the ability to do that. It's almost like, not trying to nerd out or anything, but it's almost like, you know, playing a video game. There's certain, like, let's say, I don't play this, but I know about it. It's Fortnite, right? Mm-hmm. So there's certain players that have unlocked abilities, unlocked, you know, the costumes, the armor that they can wear, the weapons that they have, that sort of thing, because of how much they played the game, right, how long they played the game, how much they've achieved on the game. Whereas if I were a new player that came in and entered the game, I wouldn't have what they have because I haven't unlocked those achievements.
Right.
So bigger players, you know, Pace is subjectively like one of the biggest influencers in our real estate space, but there's bigger players, even like quadruple the size of he is, that are in the real estate space,
right,
or the business space. They have the ability and unlocked the ability to talk about different umbrellas that are underneath them and what they specialize in. So remember, like if you're entering into the game, you have a different set of rules than somebody like a Gary Vaynerchuk. Whereas like a lot of people, it's hilarious, Nathan, because people will come to me and be like, yeah, I see Gary V putting out this type of content, and I really think like it's like I should do the same thing. And I'm like, you gotta understand, dude, you're at a different level.
Yeah.
It's a significantly different level. So, you know.
So, kind of branching off of that, for someone that wanted to get into real estate coaching, or we could even say for real estate investing, where would you say that branch like starts off at? Like where you're like, hey, you haven't reached the point where you can start talking about all this different stuff because you're not even known yet at that point. Do you yeah, kind of have any suggestions on like that?
I'll use you as an example. So painless flipping, it's pretty like, first of all, it's super catchy. That's a good job on that, by the way. it's catchy, it's memorable, and it's something that, you know, obviously the word flipping indicates that you're teaching people basically how to build a successful flip business, but also you could be talking about wholesaling and that sort of thing, because a lot of fix and flippers do wholesale. So in a nutshell, even if we just like say like it's just flipping, how many hundreds of topics could we do video content on about flipping houses?
And never ending. Yeah.
It's never ending. So even if we just point at you and say like, this is your umbrella and here's all the subtopics to talk about, the way I look at it is, and there's methods, and I have videos on my YouTube channel about this, but there's methods of where you can literally create unlimited topics to talk about for video content. And it starts with literally talking about what you do just on a daily basis. So let's say, for instance, today you're at the closing table. You might talk about and do a video on what it looks like from a wholesaler to close on a property with a seller. What's that process? And then that's what you do a video on. And then you could even do another video that's a subtopic underneath that, like, how, like the pros and cons of closing virtually or at a closing table. You have to get a little creative with
that. Yeah. But it's all within that umbrella of like flipping the umbrella. Right. And then you can vary. Okay. Yeah, man. I love it, dude. And there's always like ideas that come to my mind. I'm like, this might be a good idea. And when I first started, when I first started doing content, I was like, I love Costco. So I was like, man, I'm going to go to Costco and make some videos about Costco. I'm going to make some videos about like make gardening. Like I was just all over the place. And I've just realized like focus is extremely important, right? Yeah. To building an audience. Yeah. So yeah, that's, have you ever dealt with people like that, that just like want to just talk about stuff they enjoy and they like their hobbies? Like, I'm assuming that happens to you.
No. And that's a really good question too. I have a little bit of an outtake on this that most creators will kind of steer away from. I encourage people that I work with and people that I'll talk to leverage these content platforms to also show who you are as a human being. So if that means that you're doing videos at Costco, then cool, do that. But to me, just don't make it it's exactly what you said. It's don't make it the focus. It shouldn't, it should be like 10% of what you put out, less than that, probably 5% or 2% of what you put out. But I still think that it is relevant to, you know, it's let's draw it way back and say, what principally do we make marketing about? And one of the number one things that you can point at from a behavior standpoint is relevance. If my service is relevant to a need that a potential customer has, then they're going to call me and work with me. But also from a personality standpoint, I'm not going to go into it, I promise, but recently we had the election, and how many people did we see on Facebook literally unfriend other people because they had a different view on who they were voting for.
Yeah, yeah.
The relevance wasn't there, so it disconnected you from that person.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. And how petty it is or whatever, like, I'm not going to go into that. But that proves a point of relevance is highly important when you're making a connection from your marketing to what you're trying to accomplish. And obviously, content does a fantastic job of that. So, for example, Nathan, you wouldn't believe, like, so I don't know if you know this, but I'm a big sneakerhead, and I put out a lot of it. So I do sneaker reselling on the side. I absolutely love it. It's a hobby of mine, and it's so much fun, right? But I'll put out videos on my story or, you know, even on my feed or whatever about maybe a shoe that I sold or a new shoe that I got or whatever. You wouldn't believe how many people I've had enter my direct messages and started a conversation with me that I'd never met before. And then at some point ended up working with me in some capacity.
Wow. That's
so it led from a relevant standpoint. And obviously being a sneakerhead and putting out sneaker content, that's not really going to deter anybody. So it's not going to like the election, the example that I gave, it's not really going to deter somebody, but it will bring a relevance point and a connection point to other people that potentially have. And there's people even like in the Family Mastermind or other groups that I'm a part of also, where they've literally messaged me and said, "Hey, Josh, I'm looking for this shoe. Can you see if you can find it?" And then I'll go hunt for it, make the connection. And sometimes I just use it as a marketing tactic and I'll just give them the shoe without letting them pay for it.
Wow.
Now I've made an ultimate connection point with them and brought some sort of value to them that, you know, they're a friend now, right? So it's
that's that awesome. Kind of law of reciprocity, man. So you're giving and you get. That's just how it works in the world.
And that's ultimately the principle of marketing or content marketing and organic social in the first place, is you lead with value and then the law of reciprocity comes back to you in some shape or form. So
I love it. I love it. So I can talk about Costco and my garden and my farm. And if I kind of just relate it into kind of what I'm doing for work, and cause I just moved, I don't know if you know this, I've seen it. I don't know if you see it in myself, but I just moved to Canada 2 months ago. Right. And I bought a farm out here. Yes. Okay. So I wholesaled virtually in the United States, but now I wholesale virtually from Canada. Same thing. And I bought a farm. And I'm just out here hanging out in my yard, like building, I just built an ice rink, like a couple days ago. So anyway, I'm doing all this because I can, because I can still work from here. So I'm tying it in like, hey, I'm wholesaling real estate virtually in Canada and doing all this because.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you created that connection point, and that's where content can really become fun, is when you make those connection points between personal stuff that you're doing, and you can use it as a story for what you're actually trying to accomplish at the backside of it, right? Mm-hmm. So you can use like that example as, you know, I live in Canada, I'm living the life that I want to because I learned how to painlessly flip, and here's how I did that. And then you're feeding them with the actual content. So it could be a good like doorway for people to enter into, because they don't feel like they're going to be sold to off the bat. It's like, this is a harmless piece of content about how Nathan built an ice rink on his property because he was able to move to Canada because he's able to virtually do what he does. So,
love it. Okay. Yeah, that's cool, man. I like that. And I appreciate you answering all my questions. I feel like, you know, content has been in the beginning, like an enigma, like trying to figure it out. Like it's been so difficult to understand, but now it's just like you just said, lead with value, add a little bit of your flair and personality to it. And obviously there's a lot more to it, right? I know you give the hooks, you know, you give all the content, like the ways people should go about it. So for anybody that's listening to this is like, hey, I want to work with Josh. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like someone that I could, you know, learn a lot from, and he could direct me in building my content. What should they do? Where could they go to learn more from you?
So there's a couple of things. Number one is, again, I mentioned Nathan's going to be on my podcast here. We have it scheduled for a couple of weeks. So after this episode goes out, it'll probably be for another couple of weeks. But I have a podcast literally called the REI Marketing Weekly. All we talk about is marketing for real estate investors. So if you're a real estate investor, whether you're wholesaling, flipping, buy and hold, multifamily, whatever it is, we talk about marketing. And there's a bunch of different avenues. We talk about sales and stuff like that too, because they overlap. So go subscribe to that, REI Marketing Weekly. It'll come up instantly. The other thing you can do is follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and also YouTube. I'm really revamped my and rebuilt my YouTube channel, and I'm putting out a lot of content on a weekly basis, teaching you guys literally about what we're talking about today episode. So just look for Josh Culler and I'll come up instantly on Facebook and Instagram. I'm verified, so I'm the only Josh Culler that's there. So you can check that out. Send me a direct message and say Nathan sent me, and then I am more than willing to hop on a 30-minute free chat with anybody with literally no sales at the back end of the call, just to like bring value to your audience. Maybe you need help with video content. Maybe you need some ideas on how to get started, or you have some technical questions or whatever. I'm happy to, you know, give that time away for whoever will take me up on that offer. So send me a DM.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you guys heard it. Go hit him up on his, you said Instagram was the main one. Is that what
you're talking? Yeah. And I'll put this in there. The only, and this is like a good teaching lesson too. The only thing that I'll have you agree to is that I can record that meeting and nothing sensitive will go out, but I can record the meeting for my content purposes that I could put out later. So if you're willing to allow that, your face won't be on the content. If you don't want it to, then hit me up.
Lovely. Hey guys, you heard it here first. Go check him out. He'll help you with your social. I feel like it doesn't matter what business you're in, having a having content is like kind of the new thing, man. Like it can only help you, in my opinion, like to grow whatever you're trying to do. And impact and influence. Like I'm reading a book called The Eighth Habit. It's by Stephen R. Covey. Basically just talks about like we're in the, like there's the industrial age that we can't, like we, that was back in the day. Now we're in the age of wisdom, the age of an influence. Like everybody wants to have their voice be heard. That's basically what the book's about, like making your voice be known. Yeah. And I think that's literally what content is. It's just like, hey, you want to be able to impact and influence people. You want to make a impact in the world. Everybody does. I don't care who you are. Like everybody wants to be known and be remembered. So that's just what we're going towards, man.
Ultimately, for sure.
Cool. I appreciate you having here. I can't have coming on my podcast, and I'm excited to go on yours. And is there anything you want to leave our guests with before we wrap up this podcast?
Yeah. Anytime anybody ever asks that question, I have a canned answer, and it's the same thing every single time. Literally what we just talked about, all this stuff can be kind of overwhelming for some people. But the only thing I'll say is remember that everybody that ever got to anywhere in life, not just social media, not just content, anything in life, started with the first step. And this whole space of putting out social media content, video content, stuff like that can be very overwhelming. And it can seem like there's a million things to do. But if you just take that first step, record that first video, practice. And with anything else, the more you practice, the better you're going to get at it. And just continue to stay consistent with it, stick to it. I promise you, it will show the results over time. And you just get better and better over time. I don't want people building a $20,000 podcast studio that have never put out a single video in their lifetime. Start first with your iPhone, record a video, just talk about what you're doing, put it out, and then don't go look at views. Don't go look at how many people like watched it, nothing. Just comment, reply to comments if people comment it, and then just put the next one out. Start from there.
I love it, man. And it's so easy to start these days. You know, they make it brain dead easy to start like a YouTube channel or anything like that. So
definitely. So it's just a matter of taking the action.
Just got to do it. Stay consistent. You know it. Well, I appreciate you, Josh, and I'll see you on we'll see everybody on the next one. Like, subscribe, and do all the nice things that help us grow. All right, talk to you guys later.
Hey, everybody, what's up? It's Nathan Payne, and for the first time ever, we just released this insane training bundle that has literally everything that I've learned from doing a combined 4,000 deals in real estate, all from starting with absolutely no previous business background experience or any real estate experience. Plus, there's over $19,000 worth of free gifts that we're throwing in, all for an insanely low, low price. If you want to get your hands on this, be sure to click the first link on the description below right now.